Messages this morning from the 23rd Psalm. Most of us, when we think of the 23rd Psalm, we think we are in a funeral service or something like that, because that's where we've heard the 23rd Psalm being read, probably at, I would say, 90% of funeral services when there's a believer in Christ involved. But this morning, we want to move on to the second verse of Psalm 23, Psalm 23, verse 2. But how many of you have memorized? How many of you have done your homework from last week? I hope you have. Well, get ready, because there's more homework for next week. And it just helps us to remember these verses. You know, we are so engaged sometimes in just saying things from memory, or just because of habit, or rote, or, you know, whatever, but sometimes we need to stop and let the Word of God really sink into our hearts. And when we do that, it brings forth fruit, it brings forth blessing. And so let's read together, let's say it together. If you know the 23rd Psalm, okay, say it with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now we're going to dissect this entire psalm in the next 6 weeks. We already looked at verse 1 last week. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing. So maybe you've never heard of it spoken that way. Because he is our shepherd, he is our good shepherd, there's nothing we lack. As a good friend of mine used to say, we got it made in the shade. And we do. We've got it made. And so this morning, I'd like us to look at the second verse of Psalm 23. And let's read it together. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. All right. God has a message there for us as well. He is really excited about leading us, about guiding us, about directing us in the way we should go and the way he desires that we should go. And as I said last week, we are like sheep. The Bible says that all we are like sheep. We've gone astray, every single one of us. All of us are like sheep in the sense that we're stubborn. All of us are like sheep in the sense that we really just don't want to get with the program. And so David knew all about that when he was a shepherd, and he was a shepherd boy on those hills in Judea, and outside of Jerusalem. And he was a guy that really had it down pat, finally, as a young boy, being a great shepherd. Of course, he was painting a picture of the good shepherd, which was to come. And that great shepherd of the sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Interesting things about some things about this second verse here. Growing up on a farm, as I did, and we had the opportunity to raise some sheep, look after them. We had cows and we had horses. We had those big Clydesdale horses. We had Holstein cattle. We had tons of chickens. We had pigs. We had every animal under the sun. Oh, well, not quite. But we had mostly farm animals. And as a boy, I remember complaining and saying, I just don't want to do this. I remember in the hot sun of the summertime, out in the hay field, gathering hay, putting them on a wagon. We didn't have bales of hay, except later on. We gathered it loose, and we put it on the back of the wagon. And we hauled it off to the barn, and we used a big fork. I remember my father trying to get the big fork in the hay, and the horse would pull the pulley and the big fork loaded with a bunch of hay, and it would land in the mow, and there my brothers and I were to just kind of spread it around the mow and trample it down, pack it down to make sure that it was secure, and we could get lots more in for the winter. Well, one of the things I learned in being a farm boy was that, you know, I learned that some of these animals, especially sheep, were very particular about their sleep habits. I know that horses, well, they would sleep standing up. Those big Clydesdale horses would sleep standing up, and cats would sleep 24 hours a day if you let them. They just love to sleep. I have a dog who's a Shetland sheepdog. He has this habit of sleeping with one eye closed and one eye open. And he knows everything that's surrounding him. A real interesting lesson in animal behavior. But sheep aren't natural-born sleepers. They really don't sleep the way you and I would think they would sleep. I read a book a few years ago from Philip Keller entitled The Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. And he says that in order for sheep to even lie down to rest, four things have to fall in place. If these sheep are going to sleep, number one, they have to be free from the fear of attack, which means they have to be secure that nothing is looming over them, that they're not in danger of any kind of a wild predator attacking them. Secondly, they have to be free from friction and tension within the flock. There's something about sheep that they know if there's friction. They know if other sheep are upset. They know if there's problems in the nest, if you will, or with the pack of sheep. They have to be free from aggravations. That's the third thing. And they can't be intimidated, or they cannot be tested by ticks or gnats and flies or anything else. They can't sleep if ticks are bothering them. And the final thing is they have to be full. They have to have had a good meal. they've got to be eating well. Those are four things that will make a sheep rest and rest well. Well, do you know what other mammal has the same habit? It's you and I, animals. We are mammals, not animals. We are mammals. We are individuals. We are human beings. And we have the same kind of thing going on. Did you know that one-third of your lifespan you sleep? So if you're 60 years old, you would have slept 20 years. I love to sleep. Sometimes I wish I could have another 20 years on top of that of just sleeping. Some people don't like sleeping. Some people can't sleep. They get up and prance around half the night. But, you know, as human beings, as individuals, we average about one-third of our lives are spent sleeping. That's why mattress companies make a ton of money. Because they sell sleep. and they are engaged in it, and they're into it full tilt. So we as human beings, we sleep, but if there's something wrong with us, if there's a problem, if there's aggravation, if there's tension, if there's difficulty, it holds us back from sleeping the way we want to sleep. And that really bugs me sometimes when that happens. You ever spend half the night up prancing the floor, walking the floor, not being able to sleep? Well, I guess we all have experienced that in one way or another. But just like sheep, we're not natural-born sleepers, so we need help. Many people find that help in alcohol. Many people find that sleep in sleeping pills or food or all kinds of things. Some people need to have the TV on while they're sleeping. Some people like to have the radio on. That's me, because I like to listen to classical music while I'm sleeping. It just kind of settles me down, and I sleep like a lamb. But you know, we all have different sleep habits, and some of us can go maybe 24 hours or 36 hours without sleep. Some of us couldn't last that long without sleep. But you know, God says to us that he wants to make us rest. And the presence of the shepherd back in the day of David, King David, put the sheep at peace. He gave them peace. Just to know that the shepherd was there gave these sheep peace. They produced a lot better. They behaved a lot better. They lived a lot better. They didn't panic so easily. They didn't fight so much. And they were able to lie down in green pastures. And it works the same way with you and I. You see, nothing reduces stress like the presence of the shepherd. Nothing reduces pain and turmoil than knowing that we have the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is there for us, who is able to give us his peace and his presence and his power in the time that we're in. When you're living your life in close connection to Jesus, you can sleep. You can find rest. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," or "I will give you peace." That's what he really meant. Sheep need to know that everything is all right in order to sleep well. People need to know that all is well if we are to sleep well. Sleep is so important. It's important for our mental attitudes. It is so important in our relationships. It is so important in all the things that we do, in all of life. If you don't have sleep, well, it's not very pretty. Just recently, we started looking after our four-month-old grandson, and our two-and-a-half-year-old grandson comes, our granddaughter comes with him now on Thursdays, and so we have to make sure that they get their naps in. And sometimes when they're having their nap, Poppy has his nap. And it just kind of works out well that way. But napping is good. And they need, a child especially needs to have that sleep. If that child is to be a happy child, you can see it written all over their face. But if they don't have that rest, then they're not very and they're not well to deal with very much at all. And so the good news is that we can know that everything is right. We can know that everything is well. We can know that God will take care of us. He will protect us if we only let him. If we only surrender to him. If we only allow him to do it. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Think of those words this morning. What a glorious picture comes to your mind. That he makes us lie down. Sometimes he has to make us. Sometimes he has to use certain situations that come our way in life just to cause us to step back and to behold the wonder of his grace. Sometimes he makes us lie down when we don't want to make ourselves lie down. Sometimes he makes us lie down just to see what the meaning of life is all about. He leadeth me beside the still waters. There's nothing more beautiful than still waters. When you're out at the side of a lake looking into the water and you see mountains and hills in the background and the shadow of those hills and those mountains glaring all over the lake, you cannot help but think of the peacefulness that God has, that God provides. And so, he makes us lie down. He's talking about living a life of satisfied peace under the care of the great shepherd. And that's something this world doesn't have much of right now. That's something a lot of people don't have much of right now. It's satisfaction. They're looking for satisfaction in so many different ways, in so many different areas of life. The image he paints is one of a lazy afternoon in which the sheep can rest comfortably on a full stomach. It's a picture that he paints of the shepherd usually having the flock graze in rougher pastures in the start of the day. And as the morning continues, he leads them into greener, more fertile pastures where the sheep will be satisfied, where the sheep will be made whole. After grazing on the best grass and drinking from a nearby quiet stream, they are able to nap comfortably in the cool shade. And we all can appreciate that. And we can appreciate sitting under a tree where there's lots of shade and just kind of letting your mind perhaps sometimes even float away from you and imagining being in the presence of God. And that same experience is available to each of us today. That same experience of lying down in green pastures. We're looking today, we're living in days where the pastures are not very green, where the pastures are not very fertile. We're living in a day where we are being led by outside forces. We're living in a day where we're being led by demonic spirits in this world. There's nothing like being in green pastures, the kinds of pastures that God makes available to us. There's nothing like being led beside the still, quiet, calm, and beautiful waters. Yesterday we took a little drive up to Brooks, Maine. I don't know if you know where Brooks, Maine is, but we used to take our kids to camp at Fairhaven Christian Camp in Brooks, Maine. And we went up there yesterday because they had a big gathering that was socially distant, and they did everything possible to make everybody feel safe, and it went over very well. But there's a beautiful lake right there in Brooks, Maine. Yesterday, couldn't ask for a better day. It was 85 degrees, a little bit warm, but it was the kind of day when that lake was so still and the water was just so calm and it was just so beautiful. Certainly not the situation when this lady off of Harpswell died a few days ago because of a sharp attack. And I have nightmares just thinking about something like that. But I know that there was a lot of great, great sadness that day. Turmoil. Unbelievable agony as a result of that great tragedy. But as I looked at that lake yesterday, I saw a picture of God's grace. I saw a picture of God's beauty. I saw a picture of what God wanted to do in me and through me. That He makes me to lie down in green pastures. And He leads me beside the still waters. So here's what I encourage you to do next week. As you think of what homework I said I wanted you to do. But here's a few things to help you, encourage you, as we think of this second verse. Number one, memorize verse 2. The first verse is, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," right? Amen? And the second verse, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Think about what those green pastures are this coming week. Think about opportunities to be beside the still waters. For some reason, maybe we all need to just tune out the world. Turn off the TV. Forget about talk radio. Forget about what's going on out there in the big mess of COVID world. And think about what God's saying and what God wants. The second thing, identify the green pastures and the still waters in your life. I believe you can identify some of those things. What are those green pastures? What are those blessings that God has for you, that God wants you to really grasp and put your arms around and give thanks for and praise Him for? And those still waters, how do they remind you of the presence of God? Maybe the third thing you can do is visit a green pasture every day of your life. Often as you prepare for what you're going to do, whatever it might do, or whatever it might be, allow Him to speak to you about those green pastures. Maybe even make them multiply. And then meditate on the good and pleasant things that maybe God has brought into your life. Maybe it's other people. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe it's opportunities. Maybe it's an opportunity to witness and share God's love. Meditate on the good and pleasant pastures, the good and pleasant things that God has brought upon your life. Psalm 4, verse 8 says, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety." He makes us dwell in safety. So He is our good shepherd. The good shepherd cares for his sheep. His good shepherd knows his sheep. He knows his sheep by name. He knows you. He knows me. And He wants us to enjoy those green pastures. And He wants us to radiate in His glory beside the still waters. Let's pray. Father, thank You today for Your word, and for the reminder of the Good Shepherd. For this wonderful reminder, Lord, that You lead us beside the still waters. You lead us in the paths of victory. Help us, Lord, we pray, to be trusting You and Your word, and help us, Lord, to give ourselves to You fully and wholeheartedly as You make us lie down in green pastures and as You lead us beside the still waters. Lord, to You be glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to sing, "He